series on what God in Christ assumed. May God in Christ assume our suffering, our sin, our death. What does it matter day in and day out to say that God in Christ assumed our suffering and our sin? And what difference will it make when we breathe our last to believe that God in Christ bore in his body the death we must die? Listening to Luke's story of Jesus last week of mortal life, you can imagine, because we are human, Jesus drawn on the edge of sorrow, the stink of critics, the urgency of time left, the bittersweet company of friends, the agony of pain anticipated, the wounding betrayal of someone once trusted, the disappointment in loyal friends simply out for himself, the hope against hope of not being put to the test. We can imagine as well Jesus' experience of being let down at his hour of greatest need, being utterly misunderstood, being thrown under the bus by a colleague, being mocked and insulted and falsely accused, being treated with contempt, being broken physically, being utterly alone in the world. You are fortunate indeed if you have never experienced any of these things. But if you have, you know how profoundly isolating suffering is, both physically and emotionally. You know the abyss in which you fall as your world contracts to include you and your pain. A central fact about pain and suffering, Ellen Scarry writes in her book, The Body of Pain, is its power to destroy a person's self and world. The destruction experienced spatially as either the contraction of the universe down to the immediate vicinity of the body, or as the body swelling to fill the entire universe. And because God in Christ assumed our suffering from his birth to his death as his own, the profoundly human experience of utter aloneness in suffering and pain has been redeemed and joined by the God who in Christ is with us and will not abandon us. Because God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself precisely where and when the darkness threatens to overtake us, we may live trusting that the Creator of the heavens and the earth, the one who rescued Israel from Egypt, the maker of promises, the giver of the law, the caller of prophets, and the father of Jesus Christ, that particular God has taken our sufferings as his own, has borne our infirmities and weaknesses, for he too was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Why does that matter? It matters because in every valley of the shadow of death before our lives, you and I are accompanied by the God who in Christ has gone before us. It matters because in the middle of all of our anxious days and hopeless nights, we are accompanied by the God who in Christ has defeated every death dealer intent on separating us from each other and from the love for which we were made. It matters because on this means and matters to sinners is where my mind begins to be blown. It was necessary, Scripture says, that Jesus suffer at the hands of sinners. Sinners who were his friends. Sinners like us who were born and socialized into a culture run by death. So writes former Dominican priest James Allison. The imagination which dominates us is an imagination run by rivalry, resistance to change, the longing for security, and by the need to protect ourselves against death by seeking our survival at the expense of others. Was this not the death at work in the characters who populated the last week of Jesus' life? Is this not the death that is at work in and among us? And Jesus' first words from the cross in Luke were, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Allison writes that atonement, being reconciled to God, is not a theory, but is something we undergo. If you are undergoing atonement, he writes, it means that you are constantly in the process of being approached by God in Christ, often in the guise of one you have wronged, who is forgiving you. We tend to try to resolve this by saying, oh, it's not being forgiven that matters, it's forgiving I must forgive. So we work ourselves up into a moral stupor, straining ourselves to forgive the some of them, not Allison's words. But in fact, the Christian understanding is the reverse. It's because we are undergoing being forgiven that we can forgive. The process of being forgiven, Allison says, looks like the breaking of a heart. In other words, we're being given a bigger heart. That's what being forgiven is about. To be sent into the world as big-hearted people. That is what it means and what matters day in and day out that God in Christ assumed our sin. Why, I've asked myself this time of year for the last 44 years, why could Jesus not simply have assumed our suffering and our sin by accompanying sufferers and forgiving sinners for years on end, dying of old age? Why was it necessary that he also assume our death on the cross? Robert Jensen asks that same question after discounting every theological theory proposed in the history of the Church. Most directly stated, Jensen says, the crucifixion is what it cost the Father to in fact be not just somebody's projected theology, but what it cost the Father to be in fact the loving and merciful Father of the human persons we in fact are. It is all very well to say that God is omnipotent love, but here we sit, sluggish in our mutiny, stirring only to see swords and staves. Christ's suffering is the anguish God undergoes, the anguish God undergoes and is presently undergoing to be actually merciful within history. It is the pain of truly loving us with a love that is perfected as love unto death. No lesser love redeems. Why did God in Christ assume our suffering and our sins?